Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine. We have a phone line open for you, so dial 888-ASK-HANK and join us on the show. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we go to our callers, just a quick note on Representative Todd Akin. I've gotten so many questions about his remark. It has been used as political fodder, and oftentimes, I think, in a less than circumspect fashion. Now, this is what he said. And I'm quoting him now, from what I understand from doctors, that's conception as a result of rape is really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be of the rapist and not attacking the child. So that's what he said. There was an article by an MD recently, Jane Orient. I don't know a lot about her. She is executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. But she wrote a piece that I saw on the World Wide Web in which she points out that all decent people, including U.S. Senate candidate Todd Akin, agree that forcible rape is a heinous crime. And that all reasonable people, including Todd Akin, agree that pregnancy can result from forcible rape. But there is scientific disagreement on how likely that is. She goes on to cite several sources, including a 2012 textbook called Comprehensive Gynecology, which gives an estimate of between 2% and 5% and states that in the experience of most sexual assault centers, the chance of pregnancy occurring is quite low. In fact, parenthetically, in my own study of this, I have discovered that the incidence of pregnancy as a result of rape is rare, and that the studies, at least that I have looked at, estimate that approximately 1% to 4.7% of rapes result in pregnancy. And therefore, lobbying for abortion on the basis of rape and incest is like lobbying for the removal of red lights because, well, you might have to run one in order to rescue someone who's about to commit suicide. Even if we had legislation restricting abortion for all reasons other than rape or incest, we would still save the vast majority of the 1.8 million preborn children who die annually in the United States through abortion. But anyway, Jane Orient, MD, goes on to say, is the risk of pregnancy lower with forcible rape, and if so, why? Off the cuff, Todd Akin gives a layman's restatement of the point made by some pro-life physicians that the female body has some defense mechanisms against pregnancy in cases of rape. Now, the process of fertilization, implantation, the maintenance of pregnancy is an intricate one, highly dependent on hormonal signals. Stress is conceded to make miscarriage more likely by disrupting the hormonal milieu. What could be more stressful than a forcible rape? The intensity of the media outrage against Akin's remark, she goes on to say, shows that this is not a scientific dispute about numbers or the definition of really rare. Medical science is being replaced by political demagoguery. Politicians who claim to be pro-life, she says, are more adamant about preserving an exception for rape or incest. This exception is nothing more than a fig leaf over the reality of what an abortion is. Coming too close to the question is feared to jeopardize the chance to gain political power. Aiken's phrasing became a convenient pretext for raising a disproportionate clamor as a diversion from the real problem. Those politicians and commentators who are calling for Aiken's head have signaled where their priorities really lie. Again, this is from Jane Orient, MD, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And I would only add that the reality is this: abortion kills innocent human beings. And that is the salient point here. The conceptus is a product of human parents and has a totally distinct human genetic code. And in an age of scientific enlightenment, we now know that the embryo, even in its earliest stages, fulfills the criteria needed to establish the existence of biological life, including, as I've pointed out many times, metabolism, development, the ability to react to stimuli, and cell reproduction. Human personhood does not depend on size, it does not depend on location, and it does not depend on level of dependence. The very thing that makes rape evil also makes abortion evil. In both cases, an innocent human being is brutally dehumanized. Again, a very interesting article by Dr. Jane Orient. And I think, regardless, I don't know a lot about her, but regardless of who she is, and it seems like she has some pretty significant credentials, the points that she is making are eminently defensible. And I'm glad to hear someone that is not so apt to want to throw Todd Aiken under the bus. Maybe what he said was clumsy, maybe it was inarticulate, but is it really necessary to raise the kind of clamor that has been raised? Well, only if you do not accept, in an age of scientific enlightenment, that a conceptus has personhood from the moment of conception. Not a fully developed personality, but full personhood from the moment of conception. Remember, when a woman gives birth, she doesn't just give birth to physical reality. She gives birth to a human being, and that entails both the physical and the metaphysical component of humanity. Well, a lot of you hanging on, we're going to go right to the phone calls. And maybe before I do, I want to remind people of an SOS I put out yesterday. We only have today and tomorrow to make up a $40,000 deficit. I mentioned this on the broadcast yesterday, and immediately a lot of people responded, and we've made up at least a fourth of that deficit. We need to do the same thing today and tomorrow, and hopefully we can make up the whole amount before the end of the month. This is an amount over and above what we have to raise in order to be fiscally responsible this month. So an SOS to our listeners: we desperately need this month your financial support. If you could make an extra donation, it would be deeply appreciated. The quickest way to do that is on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. You can also do so via the mail. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants. So you can pick up the phone and dial 888-7000-CRI. Anything you can do would be deeply appreciated and will further what we do, which is, of course, done because truth matters. Want to go to the phone lines? First up is Jonathan, listening in Rockville, Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
First, I just wanted to say that your program is absolutely excellent, and I try to remember to pray for CRI almost every night because the work that you guys do is amazing.
Well, thank you. Bless you.
Cool. Well, my question was, if all Scripture is inspired by God, does that inherently mean that all parts of Scripture are just as important as other parts of Scripture? And, for example, like the Sermon on the Mount, would you say that that's just as important as, you know, the six chapters in Leviticus or Deuteronomy that detail exact measurements of the tabernacle, or Song of Solomon is beautiful poetry, but is it as important as, say, how we're supposed to run the church according to, you know, 1 and 2 Corinthians? Do you know, understand my question?
Yeah, I do, and it's kind of interesting. I've been doing this broadcast for about 23 years, and I've never been asked that question before. But I think in answer to that question, a couple of things. First of all, Scripture itself says that it is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, that's appended by the word all Scripture. So all Scripture is God-breathed, and all Scripture is useful in the regards that Paul is pointing out here in 2 Timothy. Beyond that, though, I think it's important in answer to your question to recognize that the whole of Scripture is greater than the sum of its individual passages. So you can't understand or comprehend the Bible as a whole without comprehending its individual passages, and you cannot comprehend its individual passages without comprehending the Bible as a whole. So the Bible, therefore, should be seen as a congruent whole. But in direct answer to your question, let me say this. The Bible itself notes that the new covenant is better than the old covenant. The writer of Hebrews says, why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So in that sense, we already have an indication in Scripture itself that there is a hierarchy, the new covenant better, because one is the substance that fulfills a shadow. So I don't think you can legitimately say that all Scripture is equal. You can legitimately say that all Scripture is God-breathed.
Okay.
Fair enough?
That's great. Can I ask one more follow-up question?
Yeah, go ahead.
There are certain parts, I had mentioned Leviticus and Deuteronomy. When I read through the Bible, there are certain parts that I have to admit that I do sort of skim. Do you have any suggestions for trying to get through the parts that are, you know, again, I'm trying to be as honest as possible, sometimes just honestly boring, like the measurements of the tabernacle, and just other chapters like the lineage of people or the lineage of different wars. I love Scripture, love to read Scripture, but sometimes those are just so tough to stay awake through.
Yeah. No, I totally get that, and appreciate your honesty. I'm sure that a lot of people are shaking their head in agreement with what you just said. But that does not say that all of these things are insignificant. Again, there's a hierarchy of significance. But, I mean, you look, for example, at the dimensions of the New Jerusalem. The dimensions are given, and there's a lot of detail given. But if you understand one part in light of another part, all of a sudden, there's a majesty that the dimensions take on. There's a meaning that's beyond what is simply apprehended on a cursory level. So I think that, you know, again, there are some parts of Scripture that you're going to be drawn to, you're going to be mesmerized by, and the other parts of Scripture are useful. And sometimes it's only apparent that they're useful as you start reading the Bible as a congruent whole, and then you say, yeah, I remember what I read back in Leviticus. Whoa, all of a sudden that takes on new meaning for me. So I think that comes as you develop this appetite for mining the Bible for all its wealth or reading it for all its worth.
That's great. Thank you so much.
I mean, I can imagine, you know, if you had to read through the 2,000-plus pages of Obamacare, you get pretty bogged down as well.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's read through it yet.
Nancy Pelosi, maybe she has.
Yeah. maybe.
Appreciate your call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you as well. And we're going to be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answerman broadcast. But as we go to break, I want to mention our award-winning magazine, the Christian Research Journal. We have a brand new edition out. If you're not subscribing, you may want to go to the World Wide Web and get a peek at it at equip.org, dealing with all kinds of salient subjects that are cutting edge on the one hand, but also are necessary so that you can be equipped to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. Do remember that the Christian faith is not blind faith, but rather it's faith in irrefutable fact. So we have a firm foundation, and we need to be equipped to communicate that firm foundation by being able to state what we believe, why we believe, what we believe, and who we believe. Be right back.
The things we accumulate over our lifetimes, money, personal possessions, and property, are simply gifts from God, entrusted to us to manage as His servants. When we as Christians create a will or trust, what we're really doing is planning to transfer stewardship of what God has entrusted us to others. For many of us, this may be one of the most important acts of stewardship we will ever undertake. We have made special arrangements for you to explore this stewardship responsibility. Visit our website at equiplegacy.org/EPO. There you will find the estate plan organizer. To learn more, go to equiplegacy.org/EPO. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In separate articles, Hank Hanegraaff and Steve Gregg make sense of Ezekiel's difficult temple vision. Other topics include, is legislating morality biblical? Did Jesus and Paul preach two different gospels? Are evangelicals really at war with science? An exploration of how Jack Kerouac shaped the life script of today's millennial generation. A summary critique of Mark and Grace Driscoll's controversial book, Real Marriage, The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe to the journal online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. See the events of the Book of Revelation through the eyes of one brave and determined man in Hank's new fiction work, The Last Temple. With its gripping storytelling, The Last Temple will help Revelation become real to you so you can apply its vital truths to your life. Let us send you a copy in appreciation for your gift of ministry support this month. For a gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Lila listening in Oklahoma on the World Wide Web. Hi, Lila.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay, good. That sounded weird at first. I wanted to ask if you have heard of a church called The Rock in Panama City. Their pastor calls himself an apostle, and his name is Nolan Ball. And I believe they've spread to some different states, and my dad goes to one of theirs in Arkansas, and I think they're in a couple of other countries.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very unfortunate for anyone in the modern epoch to call themselves a modern-day apostle. And this is, in his case, not an equivocation. Obviously, you can use the word apostle in the sense of a church planter or a missionary or a pastor of pastors. But you can't use the word apostle or, for that matter, prophet synonymous with the first century apostle John or the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And the reason is that we say in the historic Christian faith that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, and its value and its worth is directly associated with apostles and prophets who spoke from God. And therefore, in our modern epoch, we test what modern-day teachers say in light of what God has already said. The problem with modern-day apostles is they come up with new revelations, and because they're basically biblically illiterate, particularly in the case of Ball, they end up saying things which contradict what God has already said.
Yep. Absolutely. I looked them up, and I've heard my dad talk about them, and they're really they're pretty off the wall. They're the ones who feel that when they get to heaven or whatever, the New Testament apostles will be lining up to shake their hands.
Yeah, exactly, like, or get their autograph.
Well, I want to thank you so much, and I want to encourage your listeners to support CRI. These apostles and false apostles and guys like that are stealing from the poor to pad their pockets, and CRI is rescuing people from the mouths of wolves, and you guys rescued me, and I want people to support you, and I want your ministry to expand. So make it happen.
Well, thank you. Those are wonderful words. Bless you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. By the way, there's an email question that I got just today. Where the person writes, I would love it if you would read my question on air. However, if that cannot happen, I would still love an answer to my question. In your book, The Creation Answer Book, you state that the Bible is not conveying that the snake in the Garden of Eden is real, but rather a metaphor for Satan. My question is, how can we reconcile that with Genesis 3:14, where God curses the snake, and it seems like he is speaking to a real, literal snake? Can you please help me understand this? Best regards, Richard. And yes, I mean, I talk about this in the Bible Answer Book and in the Creation Answer Book and in a lot of other places. We have to learn to read the Bible for all its worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. And that means we should interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. The biblical imagery of the twisted serpent is a portrayal of Satan's fall. So if you look at Genesis 3:14, this has to do with Satan being debased, Satan falling. When Jesus Christ overwhelms Satan through his passion on the cross, he doesn't step on the head of a snake. He overwhelms the principalities and powers of darkness, triumphing over them by his passion on the cross. And of course, in the metaphor, once Satan held a privileged position in God's kingdom, but now he's even lower than the livestock. They have legs. He, however, crawls in his belly and eats dust. And those who know the Old Testament immediately recognize this metaphor because it's been used before. Micah, for example, just like Moses, uses the imagery of a serpent to depict the nations seeking to thwart the purposes of God. Remember what Micah says? They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. Now, obviously, nations aren't snakes. And remember that Moses not only describes Satan as an ancient serpent, but the Apostle John describes Satan as an ancient dragon. Well, again, they're not trying to tell us what Satan looks like. What they're telling us is what Satan is like. Dragons, of course, are not the stuff of theology, they're the stuff of mythology. And if we think of Satan as either a slithering snake or a fire-breathing dragon, we misunderstand the nature of fallen angels. And not only that, but we misunderstand the art and science of biblical interpretation. The bottom line, as I point out in the Creation Answer book, is that Eve was not deceived by a talking snake. Rather, Moses used the symbol of a snake to communicate the wiles of the evil one who deceived Eve through mind-to-mind communication. And that's very relevant to you and I today, because that's precisely how we are tempted. Satan, as it were, sits on our shoulder and whispers into our ear. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it does penetrate the ear of the mind. Now, we don't know how that works. We don't know how mind-to-mind communication works. That, as I pointed out on this broadcast many times, is not a problem for me. I mean, even in an age of scientific enlightenment, we can't say how the mind causes the physical synapses of the brain to fire. So we can't explain this, but what we can say is it is a reality, and that is precisely why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 exhorts us to put on the full armor of God. Why? So that we can resist not only principalities and powers of darkness, but we can stand against the world and the flesh as well. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Anthony in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on WPJL. Hi, Anthony.
Yes. First of all, I want to just tell you that I really love the show, and I've learned a lot by listening to you. I always catch you on my way to work, and I learn a lot by listening to your show.
Thank you.
But my question is, it's about politics. I've heard you say you had something on like last week, and I couldn't get through when the Aiken debate was going on. And, you know, I like to try to stay on the things that we have in common instead of the things that we don't have in common. And that's why I listen to your show. And I wanted to know if the show was more of like a right-wing-based program whenever it comes to politics, because, you know, that's basically what I hear a lot. And it kind of like sticks me in the side a little bit because...
Now, give me an example of right-wing politics.
Like just a minute ago when you and a guy had a little laugh about, you know, reading Obamacare.
Well,
I can't tell you how to run your show or anything, but you know, I listen to your show to get the Bible views and the religious views, and whenever the political stuff comes up, it's like a little slap in the face because I mean we don't have to agree politically, but what we do agree on is that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he loves us all. And
right.
He wants us all to come to him and...
Right. Yeah,
and
good point.
Right ...and be ambassadors of Christ.
Yeah, Anthony, good point. But here was my point. I was simply saying that just as former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has no hope of comprehending the provisions of Obamacare apart from reading its 2,000-plus pages... we do no justice to Torah law without carefully considering its complexities. So it wasn't really a right-wing political statement as much as an analogy, and I'm sorry if the analogy offended you. It's not about right-wing politics.
Okay, thanks a lot, Hank. I just want you to keep on doing what you're doing, and you know, I've been taught since I was small, like eat the meat and throw the bone away, and I try to continue to do that, but you know, it's kind of hard sometimes when I hear the left right thing. You know, I don't like to get into politics whenever it's about Jesus Christ.
Well, appreciate your perspective. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling as well, Anthony.
No problem.
Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Eddie, listening in Jonesboro, Arkansas, Bot Radio. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm struggling. I call you. I listened to you for a long time. It was the first time I've ever called in, and I'm struggling with my walk. I believe I'm saved. You know, but, Hank, I stumble so much. I'll do well, and I'll read my Bible, and I'll have, you know, somewhat of a quiet time with God, and, you know, I'll do that for a few days even, then I'm falling back off, and I'm not doing it all. It's like I don't have that zeal that I so long for. I want to be everything God wants me to believe to be, but I struggle so much, and I stumble so much. It's like I fail every day with it. I don't understand how to keep myself more balanced rather than being on this roller coaster.
Well, I'm in the same boat with you. You know, I struggle all the time. I struggle, I fall, I sin in thought, word, and deed. And I consider myself precisely what Luther depicted someone who is covered by the righteousness of Christ, snow-covered dung. It's a very graphic, but I think an appropriate illustration. And I don't think you and I are alone. I think many other people are in the exact same boat as well. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And this is a statement that is meant to underscore the powerful lure of sin. And this is one of the reasons that we're called to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But do we fall? Yeah, absolutely. Each one of us does. And that is why we're exhorted by the Apostle John to daily confess our sins and recognize that he's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is not a license to sin with impunity. It's just a recognition that we do still struggle with a sinful nature. And it's wonderful that you have a very keen awareness of that and you want to do something about it. And what that doing something about it means is partaking of spiritual disciplines, the very disciplines modeled by Jesus Christ during his earthly sojourn. I've actually written a book about this. It's called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. I've often said this, but if you're covered by the covering described by Paul as the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you're not, you're a guaranteed casualty. So your struggle is my struggle. It is the struggle of all believers. And that's why we need one another. One of the chapters of the Bible that I'd exhort you to read as well is Romans chapter 12, which points out just how much we need one another. And that's, of course, why we're part of the body of Christ. It's not because we think that we're set apart as great people. No, we need one another as we struggle into what will be the quintessence of joy, the eternal state.
The end of the world, or God's great confirmation of Jesus as Messiah? The prophecies in Revelation have long been a hot topic of debate. Now Hank brings them to life for you in his fiction work, The Last Temple, the long-awaited third novel in the Last Disciple trilogy. In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you The Last Temple, or for a gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole trilogy. Your support makes the Bible Answer Man broadcast possible, so please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today. the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable proofs of the Bible's divine inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
It's the first century, and the young Christian church is facing numerous obstacles, but it's determined to not only survive, but thrive. The Last Sacrifice, the second in the Last Disciple series by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. As you read The Last Sacrifice, you'll be transported back in time when the ink was still fresh on the pages of Scripture. You'll feel the tension as the early church struggles to follow Christ and share the gospel, despite terrible persecution. You'll take a front row seat in the arena as Christians face death with courage. And you'll be encouraged as John's words from Revelation give hope to the hopeless and life to those fleeing certain death. It will give you a clearer understanding of Bible prophecy as you experience history through the eyes of those who lived it. The Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Secure your copy now. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org.
Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support.
Just want to thank you and everyone at the Christian Research Institute for what you do, and want to encourage everybody listening to support you guys in any way you can. You guys have blessed me immensely throughout the years, and I really appreciate you.
If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder, I put out an SOS yesterday. We have fallen dreadfully short financially this month, and we need many of our friends and partners to help out with a special gift as we come to the end of this month. We only have today and tomorrow, so we're in a bit of a jam. Again, I'm putting an SOS out to our faithful listeners and friends. If you can help, it would be deeply appreciated and used for the extension of God's kingdom, because truth matters. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also give via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can speak with our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And do remember, this month, for your gift of $100 or more, to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, receive all three volumes in my latest trilogy, The Last Disciple series, the last book of which is now out. It's entitled The Last Temple, and I'll personalize The Last Temple to you, a family member, or a friend. Same thing holds true if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Denise in Independence, Missouri, listening on KCCV. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you for your ministry. I have a question. I'm getting ready to start a study on spiritual warfare for women. It's by Leanne McCoy, but I see that the foreword is by Neil T. Anderson, and I know that you spoke about him and wondered if you could give me a little information about him.
Well, we actually did an article on the teachings of Neil Anderson in the Christian Research Journal, and I've mentioned him in various forums when I deal with spiritual warfare, because I think that rather than bondage breaking, he's involved in bondage making. He says, for example, Christians no longer possess a sin nature. He says Christians can be demonized, and in order to have victory over the devil, in his view, Christians must learn to address him directly and do so out loud, even in public places. He also claims to have firsthand knowledge that our churches have been infiltrated. He says that there are breeders out there. We've encountered people who are doctors and lawyers and pastors, all who are Satanists. And by the way, when you ask him for evidence, you simply don't get any evidence. And the sensationalism is simply mind-boggling at some points, particularly when he says that he's had fantastic physical attacks against his person, such that demons have actually succeeded in biting him. On one occasion, he was bit by a demon in the hand, and a demon scrawled a message on his bathroom mirror. I mean, this is just sensational nonsense. Demons are non-physical, they're non-corporeal, so they can tempt us through mind-to-mind communication, but they can't throw us, and they certainly can't bite us, and they certainly can't scrawl messages on bathroom mirrors. He also says that evil spirits often attach themselves to spaces and furnishings of a home, and he subscribes to the medieval belief in spirits that have sexual relations with humans. And he says this is not only valid, but in his view, an experience common enough to be included in the first of his seven steps to freedom as a possible past sin to be renounced. So this is a hodgepodge of sophistry, script torture, and sensationalism.
All right. Thank you. Is this the same gentleman who has ritualistic, I'm not sure what to call it, but rituals of covering people with sheets? Am I talking about the same guy, thinking of the same guy?
Well, I don't know about all his ritualistic teachings or whatever, but this is Neil Anderson. He's well known. I mean, he has probably his most popular book is called The Bondage Breaker.
Right.
His middle initial is T, Neil T. Anderson.
That's it. Well, I at one time had The Bondage Breaker, and I discarded it because I knew there was something. I wanted to make sure this was the same guy.
Yeah.
Right. And have you wrote about him anywhere?
Yeah, Christian Research Journal. We did an article. If you hang on, we can send that article out to you. I think you can also get it on the web. And then I've written about this in a book on spiritual warfare called The Covering.
All right. Well, I appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Eric, Chicago, Illinois, listening on the web. Hi, Eric.
Good evening, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
My question is it reasonable or ethical for a pastor to be presenting sermons that have been presented by somebody else? And there's websites where they can buy these, they can buy whole series, but it seems somewhat disingenuous, and it's something that I'd be curious your opinion about.
Yeah, here's the problem from my perspective. I think that oftentimes people do take the easy way out rather than studying the scriptures and mining the scriptures for all they're worth, they end up regurgitating the messages of other people, and as a result, they don't grow in their own depth, in their own ability to mine the Bible for all it's worth. But as far as using a a sermon outline that another pastor has preached, I mean, in principle, as long as you give proper attribution, I suppose you probably make a case for it. But you end up a lot of times having shallow pastors giving shallow messages to shallow people, and rather than deepening their faith, they end up skating along the surface.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Appreciate your call. You too. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Eugene, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Eugene.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, Hank, Freemason, is this a cult or an occult? Or can you combine Freemasonry with Christianity? I'm asking because actually my boss, I saw that he's wearing a ring, and I asked him, I knew what the symbol means, but I asked him, and he was telling me that he's a 30-degree Freemason, Scottish Rite, and then I asked him, actually, is this not a cult? And he was very offended, and he says, no, I believe in Jesus Christ, and we had a little discussion going on about that, and the conclusion is he feels that this is okay. Can you tell me what's your view on this?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. By the way, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Freemasonry is dubbed as the largest worldwide secret society. And the problem is that there is a lot of occultism that is fostered by the movement. Freemasonry supports the now popular New Age dictum that man houses within himself unlimited power and can be unlocked using specific procedures. And as a result of that, there's a whole kind of occultism that is part and parcel of the symbols and the rites and the ceremonies that are part of Freemasonry. But so many Masons are unaware of what really is going on because they have not advanced to the highest levels of Freemasonry. And the reason is a large portion of Masons seldom strive to advance beyond the initial ranks or degrees offered within their organization. But as you progress to higher degrees, more and more details about the underlying foundations and assumptions of Masonic ideology are revealed, and then you see that there are some very significant dangers, and certainly from a biblical worldview, it just can't be harmonized with what we hold with respect to the historic Christian faith. So the one thing you can say for certain is it's not compatible with Christianity.
All right. That was my question. Now, can I just tell you a little disagreement what I have with your teaching I heard earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. Love it.
It's by all means, I'm not worthy to open your shoes, but when we talk about Hebrew and we hear that you should actually turn away from that sinful life, that means that Christ actually is teaching me not to repeat all this, even when I do, because I'm not thinking or because it's a temptation. But is it not that Christianity should actually aim to live a sinless life, in a sense, with the teaching we get to improve and get closer to Christ and who he is and serve our great King here?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. The point that I was trying to make earlier, Eugene, is simply this, that the reality is we are justified by Jesus Christ. which is to say, we're not saved because of our righteousness, but we're saved because of a foreign righteousness, not of our own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. And the same Christ who justifies us is also the Christ that sanctifies us, daily conforms us to his image. But that is a process that is never completed until the day that we are glorified, and that only happens in the eternal state. So the point that I'm making is that we as believers are still struggling with a sin nature. Yes, we strive to be more and more like Christ, and in the process, we exercise those spiritual disciplines that we have laid out for us in Scripture and modeled even by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so we can be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. But the reality is, if Paul struggled with the powerful lure of sin, we too are going to struggle with that lure of sin as well, and that's true up until the time that we die.
Oh, yeah. Now, this makes totally sense to me. This, now you really have explained it to me. Now I see it. Because my first reaction was this, and I don't want to make too much time, take too much time from you, but when I hear the expression there or your answer there, it seemed to me like, okay, then I grab a gun and every day I shoot somebody, and in the evening I ask for forgiveness. So long the cops don't get me, I'm okay with God, but that's not real. So now you really explained it to me, and I totally agree with this. And thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, and thank you so much for the follow-up, because a lot of times it takes further explaining, and you exhorted me to do just that. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show. God bless you. Until then.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and help believers sharpen their discernment skills. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.